to take your Bible tonight, if we'll open it up to the book of Colossians. Colossians chapter 1, if you would, open your Bible there, Colossians chapter 1. I'm going to begin reading down in verse 15. And years ago, I remember going to a doctor. She had been my wife's doctor for years since she was a kid, and so I went to him, and I kind of enjoyed him. If I had to go to a doctor, he's a pretty good one to go to. But he knew I was a preacher, and he told me one time, he said, "Man, I can't think of how terrible to me it would be to get up week after week and have to come up with something new to say." And, I thought about that, and I said, well, you know, it would really be bad if you didn't have the Bible. You know, but since you've got the Bible, it's just filled with something to say, all right? And there's always something there. But tonight, I'm doing the thing I really am is a challenge, all right? Because I know when I start, there's no way I can really do an adequate job on this subject, all right? You say, well, why not? Because it's just more than anybody can do, all right? There just is more, so just do the best we can tonight. Going to begin reading there in verse 15. The Bible says, "Who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature?" Now, if you think, well, man, we're starting in the middle of the stream. Well, it's the same one that verse 14 says, "In whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sin." He's the one that is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. I want to preach to you, if I can, just a little bit tonight on the preeminent one, all right? Obviously, these verses talking about our Savior, talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. And you would think this would not be true, but there is great misunderstanding and great disagreement over Jesus Christ. I mean, you know, and there has been, all right? That was true in New Testament times. It's still true today, all right? Now, in the New Testament times, they didn't have the benefit of the Word of God that we do. We have the New Testament. They didn't have it. We do. But there's still so much disagreement over Jesus Christ. Even in what passes for, you'd let me kind of put it in quotes, Christians. Even folks that profess to be saved, profess to be Christians, there is disagreement over who Jesus is. I mean, and there's just great disagreement. But our Lord used the Apostle Paul to lift up our Savior right here in these verses. When he had him write to the church at Colossae, I try my best never to say Paul said, because Paul didn't say it, all right? Paul wrote it, but he wrote it because God told him to write it, all right? And so what God told him to write was those things that would lift up the Lord Jesus Christ. And, hey, if you want to know who Jesus is, this is a good place to start. And it's a good place to start. So just look at a few things with me tonight out of the Word of God, and we'll try to answer some of the craziness that philosophies and ideas and even doctrines that people hold in our day. First of all, verse 15 said he's the image. He is the image of the invisible God. He's the image of the invisible God. Now, that word image means a representative or a likeness of, okay? He's the image of that, a representative or the likeness of someone, all right? And that's who Jesus is. He is the likeness of God. That's exactly who he is. But man, that brings argument to people. John chapter 14, it brought an argument in the day of the Lord Jesus Christ. You read there in John chapter 14, the Lord was talking, and He gave us the great words, the great encouragement about heaven. And he told us in verse 1, you know, don't be troubled. You believe in God, believe in me. He said, there's a place called heaven. And in my Father's house, there's many mansions. And he began to go through it. And when he got down through what we're really familiar with and most familiar with in those verses, he's talking. And Philip said to him in verse 8, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. And I can't help but think the Lord Jesus Christ thought, man, hadn't you been paying attention? Where have you been? So look what he says there in verse 9. Jesus saith unto him, have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father? Man, how much plainer can you make it? How much plainer can he make it than to say, hey, when you see me, you've seen the Father. You're looking at God, all right? I am the image. He is the image of the invisible God. When we talk about picturing God, I don't picture some fella, you know, the way you see drawing some older white beard and all that with a glow. That's not God. God, I picture him as the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. That's our Savior, all right? So Jesus bore testimony to the truth that, hey, you've seen me, you've seen the Father. He's the image of the invisible God. You see, the Lord Jesus Christ shows us God. Shows us God. Now, I don't want to put it on you too hard, you know, and shake you up, but you and I are to show people Jesus Christ. We're to show people Jesus Christ. But he came to this earth to show us God. He is the communication of God to man. And he came for that purpose. He is that. So that truth absolutely infuriated the Pharisees. But it's still the truth. Doesn't change it. Just because somebody gets mad about it, doesn't change it from being the truth. It's still the very truth, all right? And if you'll pay attention to Christ, hear me. You'll pay attention to Christ, you will hear and see God. You'll hear and see God. If you don't, you're going to miss God completely. You'll miss him completely. If you turn down Jesus Christ, you've missed it. Hey, that presents a huge problem to folks like the Muslims who deny with everything within them that Jesus is God. They want to kind of throw a bone to him and say, well, he was a prophet. No, he's a lot more than a prophet. He's God. He was God, okay? And he is God. We need to understand that. Jesus Christ said, who is he? Well, he's the image of God. He was the communication of God to man. When we think about God, we think about the Lord Jesus Christ. He's God. He came. And man, but it's not just the Muslims. It's all others who refuse, if you will, to see Jesus Christ as God. Deny the deity of Christ. There's a lot of folks that parade under the umbrella of Christianity that deny the deity of Jesus Christ. The Jehovah's false witness deny the deity of Jesus Christ. Deny that. Hey, listen, he's the image of God. He's the image of God. Who is he? He's the image of God. But you go back to Colossians 1, look at verse 16. It doesn't end there. The Bible said in verse 16, for by him were all things created. He is the creator. Man, what a statement. What a statement of fact. By him were all things created. Just think about it. Now, that statement doesn't need the approval of scientists or scholars or anybody else. And it doesn't need their explanation of what they think to try to include Jesus. No, he's the creator. He's the creator, plain and simple, all right? Genesis 1:1 says, in the beginning, God created. We get Colossians chapter 1, verse 16, it gets reiterated that he created all things. He created all things. Now, you can like it, lump it, or dump it, but you can't change it. You cannot change it. He's the creator. Man, I went to college, okay? I may not sound like it sometime, but I did go to college. And I sat in all kinds of classes. I've read a ton of things that spout the evolutionary line, okay? But there are so many holes in their argument that it's a lot worse than Swiss cheese. If there was that many holes in Swiss cheese, you wouldn't get any cheese at all right? It just wouldn't be any to put on your sandwich. It's amazing. And it's not necessarily what we would consider the big things. This morning, I happened to have the news on when I was getting ready to, and they were talking about the hummingbird migration. Any of y'all got hummingbird feeders, maybe? You do. If you've been getting extra business. I don't know if you've seen it, have it? All right. Man, they showed these pictures of hummingbirds, and they said we're on the migratory path, and all those hummingbirds come through here. And I'm thinking, you know, what in the world? How much trial and error did it take for that hummingbird to figure out we've got to migrate? Did they just take short hops in the beginning, you know? What motivated them to take those long, the monarch butterflies that come through here? Now, what in the world? Evolutionary, the whole process of evolution generated that? There's no way in the world. And there are so many things that are absolutely unexplainable by anything other than the fact that, hey, He created all things. He created all things. But boy, we see people stumbling all over themselves trying to apologize for believing the Bible. Man, I don't apologize for it. I believe the Lord did it just like He said. And notice what it says. It says, by Him were all things created. All things, regardless of where you find it. Notice it says there in that verse, whether it's in heaven or that are in the earth. Doesn't matter where you find it. If it's what you can see through looking through a telescope, He created that. He created that. If it's what you can see looking down at your feet, He created that. All right, He created all of it, whether it's in heaven or earth. Doesn't matter where you find it. He created all things. Hey, by the way, it doesn't matter whether or not you can see it. The Bible said visible and invisible. Visible and invisible things. You said, what's invisible? All kinds of things. The rays of the sun that burn your skin when you get out in it too long at the wrong time. He created those things. Those electromagnetic waves. That, I don't know what kind of waves it is that cook stuff in a microwave, really. I'm not, I guess if somebody said microwave, maybe it is, I don't know. But I know this, you stick it in, you watch it, you can't see anything. But your food will start bubbling if you leave it in there long enough, all right? You say, what are you saying? I'm saying this, He created all things, that whether you can see it or not, visible, invisible, He created all of it. He created every bit of it, all right? Every bit of it. And by the way, it doesn't matter what those things consist of. Notice what the rest of that verse says. Whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, one more time, all things created by Him, created by Him. You said, who is this Jesus Christ? Well, I'll tell you, He's the image of God, but He is the creator of all things. All things. Everything, all right? All things. Hey, those two words, all things, now if you look that up in the Greek, you know what it means? It means all things, all right? It means all things. That's exactly what it means. And we don't have trouble understanding that. And the Lord went into great detail to said in heaven or earth, visible or invisible, fist dominions or powers or principalities. That didn't make any difference. He created all of it. Just try to prove it to you, He did. But wait a minute. There's an interesting, to me, very interesting phrase there in the very last part of that verse. For all things were created by Him, but then it says, for Him. For Him. We sometimes get the idea it was created for us. Man, we think, because, you know, we human beings, we get to where we think we're pretty hot stuff. We're big things, you know. And we get the idea that everything here's for us. Everything here's for us. We, you know, we're to enjoy it, you know. But that's not what the Bible says. The Bible said they were created by Him and for Him. Now, the good thing about it, He allows us to enjoy every bit of it. Man, do you ever stop and think about it? He allows us to enjoy it without any charge to us. No charge. Nowadays, if people find anything, they'll fence it off and charge an admission to get in. Years ago, my brother and I, we took vacations together for about 4 years, and we went all over the western United States. And one time we went to the Four Corners area of that, where Colorado, New Mexico, Arizona, and Utah, I think, come together. And I remember we went out there. There was nothing out there, just nothing except a little deal drawn up, and you could stand in, or you could put your feet in two different states and your hands in two different, I'm in four states at once. And I just want you to know it was a life-fulfilling moment when we did that. And so we did that. But, I mean, there wasn't anybody there. We didn't have to stand in line to take a picture. Nothing. Years later, I went with my wife and our kids. Man, we got in a long line of traffic. And there was a booth. We had to pay to get in. Somebody got the idea, well, hey, you know what? This is ours. We can charge for it. Aren't you glad God lets us enjoy everything He put here and He doesn't charge us a dime to do it? Hey, listen, He lets the infidel and the atheist enjoy this life and this earth. But when He dies, He's not going to enjoy anything again. But while you're here, look, you and I, we enjoy it all. We enjoy it for free, but it was for Him. It was for Him. You were not created for you. I was not created for me. The Bible's real plain. We were created for His pleasure. For His pleasure. You say, well, I don't believe that. Well, look it up. It's in the book. You can read, all right? You don't believe me? Believe God. Hey, all of it. All of it. He made it all, and He made it for Him. He made it for Him. Now, I like to look through books and see the pictures of those galaxies that are out there, you know, and the nebula and all of that kind of thing. It's interesting, beautiful. But God didn't make that for me. He made that for Him. But He says, it's all right if you enjoy it. It's all right if you enjoy it. Say, who is Jesus? He's the image of God. He's the Creator. He's the Creator. But look, if you will, at verse 17. Verse 17 takes it even further. He said, He is before all things, and by Him all things consist. Now, I'm going to come back to the first part of that verse, but I want you to notice the last part. By Him all things consist. If you'd let me put it this way, He is the director of maintenance. He is the director of maintenance. By Him all things consist. That, look, what we would talk about it and the way we would consider it is by Him He holds it all together. He holds it all together. He did not create this world and walk off to leave His creation to its own devices. He didn't do it. He holds it all together, all right? And He, by the way, He didn't do that to you either. Aren't you glad? Man, I'm glad He didn't do that to me. I'm glad He didn't create me and put me in this world. So you're on your own, sonny. Glad He didn't do that. I'm glad He put me in a family. Gave me a mom and a dad to help me along the way, all right? I'm glad we're not like animals. Turtles are born and they have to fight their way out of the shell and out of the sand pit they're in. And then they got to struggle to get to the water. And then it's all out, you know, fighting to live. Man, I'm glad we're not that way. God fixed it for us different, all right? He set this thing up for us, all right? But wait a minute. Oftentimes, if you talk to the scientists, they'd say, well, the thing that holds everything in place is gravity. The reason the moon is still there circling the earth is because of the gravitational attraction between earth and the moon. And the reason all the planets are still there because of the gravitational attraction of the sun and all those planets. Now, if you want to and that entertains you, believe that. But I'm going to tell you what, straight out, it's God that holds it all together. It's God that holds that thing all together. He put it in place, and it's the power of God that keeps it there. The power of God that keeps it there. What great power He has. By Him all things consist. He's in control of all creation. Everything down the line, all right? Look back in Acts chapter 17. Take your Bible and go back to Acts chapter 17. What a wonderful verse here. Just this first part of verse 28, if you will. Paul was preaching here, and once again, I believe God told him what to preach, all right? But he says this in verse 28, "For in him," that's in Jesus Christ, "we live and move and have our being." Why? It's in him, by him, all things consist. By him. He's in charge of it, all right? He's in control of it. You say, well, wait a minute. What about when things go bad on the earth? Well, it doesn't mean God's no longer in control. It just means God's working out his plan here, and that way he's doing it, all right? We get the idea, and people today have the idea, well, if I get saved, everything's supposed to be rosy. I'm never supposed to have another problem. I don't see why God didn't answer my prayer. He let my loved one die. Folks, now, and I don't mean to be brutal. I don't mean to be cruel or crude or anything else. But if you and I, if we don't die, we don't get to heaven. We just don't get to heaven. Now, I enjoy living here. I'm having a good time. I go in the store and somebody say, how you doing? I say, man, I'm having a time. And I'm not kidding. I am. I'm having a good time. It's wonderful to be alive. It's wonderful to be here. But wait a minute. If I get debilitated, if I have a stroke, would you please not beg God to keep me here? He might answer your prayer. I'd much rather go on to heaven, all right? I enjoy feeding myself. I don't want somebody else to have to do it. You know, you say, well, preacher, what if that happens? Well, that's the will of God. Now, just put up with the will of God. It's been a good thing all the way. But you understand what I'm saying? I mean, hey, there comes a time we have to leave this old world. And if the Lord doesn't come back and get us all, it's going to be through death. Through death. And that's not something to be bitter against God or to accuse him. No, that is the will of God. It may be bad for us, but it's not bad for your loved one that knows the Lord. Not a thing in the world wrong with that. Hey, you know, somebody said, well, don't you miss your dad? Yeah. Don't you miss your mom? Yeah. But man, there's no way in the world. And I said, well, just send them back. I can go back and look at pictures, especially Dad. Dad got to looking, to me, he looked terrible. I mean, you know, he'd sort of shriveled up. And that's the way I describe it. And, you know, that age does that sometimes to people. And I look back at those pictures and I think, man, bless his heart, he's in heaven. He don't look like that now. What a good thing, all right? Hey, don't think just because some bad things happen, all right, that God's not in control. No, by him all things consist. He's the director of maintenance, all right? He's taking care of it. He created it all. He's taking care of it all. Every bit of it. By the way, he's taking care of me and you, too. Taking care of me and you, too. Boy, I'm glad he is. Hey, it goes past that. Look at verse 18. Verse 18, he's at the top, if you will, of the organization chart, all right? He's at the top. Verse 18, and he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead. Isn't that wonderful? That in him, that in all things, he might have the preeminence. He is at the head of the organizational chart. Could I just remind you, now I know I'm not saying anything here that's new to anybody, but there may be somebody listening to this on, you know, online somewhere down the line, and I want you to understand, our headquarters is not to be found anywhere on this earth. All right, we don't have an earthly headquarters. You said, well, where's y'all's church headquarters? Well, it's not here. We don't take direction from any geographical location on the earth. We don't do that, all right? We don't look to Nashville for anything to instruct us, to help us. We don't look to Nashville, all right? We don't look to Anderson, Indiana. You say, what's there? That's the head of the Church of God, all right? And or one branch of it, all right? We don't look to Waco. We don't look down there. We're not there, all right? We don't look Salt Lake City. We don't look anywhere. Why? Because our headquarters is not here, okay? Now, our headquarters is with our head. And our head is the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we know where he is. He's seated at the right hand of God the Father. All right, it's in heaven. You said, where's your headquarters? What's in heaven? Now, if you tell people that, they I know. But look, humanly speaking, where's your headquarters? Okay, humanly speaking, it's in heaven. That's where our headquarters is, all right? We don't look to anybody else. Look, we don't look around. We don't look to man, but we do look to the book of God for direction. That's where we get it from. If I quit preaching this book, find somebody else that will preach it. Just find somebody else. Don't go and think, well, we need the philosophy of man. We need that. No, we need to hear from heaven. And that is our head, okay? We're led by the God of the book to follow the book, all right? Well, that's where we're going. That's where we're going. We have no earthly headquarters. But because our Lord is at the head of that organizational chart, okay? Everything else, we're under Him. We're under Him. And boy, the world today can't grasp that. I have talked to different, especially through our Christian school, there's a lot I didn't know. Look, I was kind of naive. When we started our school, I thought every family was like my family. I found out real quick, we were weird. All right? And then I thought churches were like our church. I found out we're weird, all right? Well, we won't do it the way they do. I hear about them going to the denominational meeting. And I found out through time that, hey, there's certain denominations, they will appoint a pastor to the church they want him to go to. And the church doesn't even get a vote. Where in the world did that idea come from? Well, it came from headquarters. But they got the wrong headquarters, all right? They just got the wrong headquarters. And I'm not trying to be cruel or anything, but I hear them talking about getting together and voting on things. Now, y'all hang in there. When I was in high school, and that was right after the invention of the light bulb, okay? But when I was in high school, when I was a kid in high school, I can remember talking to a friend of mine that was in school with me. We were in the same grade, had some classes together, and he had a pretty good testimony. He brought his Bible to school with him, and I can remember talking to him. Now, he was a Southern Baptist fellow, and I remember talking to him, and that was back there in the years where the whole women preacher thing began to grow and the impetus for it, And I said, man, what do you think? What do you think about that? And he said, well, the convention votes for it. I thought, well, good Lord, does it matter if we got a Bible or not? Let's just let the folks vote on it. Hey, look, our head, it's the Lord Jesus Christ. He's our head. He's our head. I'm the under shepherd, but I'm not the head. He's the head. And if I ever quit pointing people to Him, we need to find somebody else to pastor the church, all right? It's what He does and what He's doing. And I told you we were going to come back to the first part, verse 17. I just want to put it in right here. It says, and He is before all things. The idea, part of that idea there, He's eternal. He is eternal. He's before all things. Before there was anything, He was. That's when the Lord talked about, He said, before Abraham was, I am. The idea, He's eternal. That's our head, okay? That is our head. He's eternal. We don't look for a head here on earth. We don't have there is no Baptist Pope. There is no Baptist Pope. And man, am I glad there's not. Every person's ever lived and breathed on this earth who wasn't God in the flesh has had some terrible problems. Because we're sinners. Right? We're sinners. But man, thank God our head is Him. And in all things, the Bible says, He is to have the preeminence. And all things, once again, all things means all things. You pick something, anything you want to pick. So what about in government? Yep, he's to have the preeminence in government. He's to have the preeminence in government. I believe this with all my heart. I believe one of the reasons this country has lasted as long as it has and has risen to the heights it has is because in the beginning we put him at the head. We honored him, all right? We honored him. And a lot of what was done looked to the Bible pattern for the doing of it. Now, boy, are we a long ways away from that today. Yes, we are, all right? But the Bible says he's to have the preeminence in all things. That means the economy. He's to have the preeminence in the economy. Hey, in your personal economy, he's to have the preeminence. Just pick anything you want to, your home, your life, your heart, your finances, you name it. He's to have the preeminence. He's the top notch, right? He's top. He's to have the preeminence in everything we do. And we're to do our dead level best to see to it we honor him in every phase of our life. Everything. Not just, well, we'll give him Sunday. No, we're to give him Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. And if they come up with any other day, he gets that one too, all right? He gets that one because he's to have the preeminence. Every month of the year, every day of the week, every week of the year, I mean, he's to have the preeminence all the time. His word ought to have the preeminence in the church. You say, well, preacher, he does. No, it doesn't. There's a lot of institutions today that parade as a religious institution. What we would look at and said, there's a church. I don't know if you've noticed. Have you noticed how many churches today have taken off the word church? You notice how they put a title on it, and you just have to ascertain, yeah, I'm pretty sure that means they're a church. But a lot of them, they've taken the name of church off, and it's really a good thing because that could be why some of them places take that name off, is because really and truly it's not his book that has the preeminence there. Not his book. It's man's philosophy. We're doing everything we can to figure out a way to entertain people and draw a huge crowd in. But wait a minute, if we're not doing what God said to do, let's don't call it a church. Let's don't call it a church. We're just having a gathering, a religious gathering. Hey, he's to have the preeminence. Now, if he has the preeminence, it'll be a church. If he has the preeminence in that, all right? Now, hey, the Bible said that he might have. That's the plan of God. That is the plan of God. That's the will of God. Just want to be blunt with you. If we're smart, we'll get on board with God right there. We're going to let him have the preeminence. We're going to give God what he deserves. We're going to give Jesus Christ what he deserves. So, preacher, how do you get to heaven? You go through the Lord Jesus Christ. Man, how do you build a great life? You build your life on the foundation of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's how you do it. You say, well, how do you conquer some of the problems? By doing what the Lord Jesus Christ said do in his book. Hey, give him the preeminence. Give him the preeminence. I mean, it ought to be there. He's top. Nobody else even comes close. We shouldn't celebrate anybody else anywhere close to what we do for him. And it ought to be why it's the plan of God. Give him what he deserves. Now, if you hadn't figured it out yet, look at verse 19. For it pleased the Father. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. That all fullness is all the attributes, all the character of God. You said, why did Jesus Christ, why was he what he was? Because it pleased the Father. It pleased the Father. Pleased him. Well, why, preacher, why do you have to come through Christ to get to heaven? Because it pleased the Father. Because it pleased the Father. Well, why do we have to do what this book says? Because it pleased the Father. It pleased the Father. The truth of the matter is, it doesn't have to please me and you. It does not have to please me and you. Brother Noble preaching Sunday, and he's talking about that word because. Because. Why? Because. He said, why? Well, it pleased the Father. Pleased the Father. It doesn't matter if you like it or not. God didn't ask man's permission. And by the way, he didn't set it up and say, well, we want to be sure and please man. I want to be sure and please. You know, seemingly, if God had devised a way to heaven that would have pleased man, then it would have been works. so man could beat his chest and say, look at me. Look at me. But it's not like that. Instead, it's look at the one who was hung on that tree. And if you don't look to him, you'll never live. You'll die in your sin. And as he said, where I go, you cannot come. The man, why? Because it pleased the Father. The Bible even said it pleased the Father to bruise him. That pleased God to do it that way. It's the doing. It is the doing of God. All of it. It pleased the Father. He said, why did God do it that way? Because it pleased him. Pleased him. Why do you set your house up the way you set it up? You ladies, most of us guys, we're smart enough to let the wives decorate. You say, why do you do it that way? Well, because it pleases you. I found what pleases my wife usually makes me a happier man too, all right? It really does. Just try and keep her happy. I like to keep the cook happy, all right? Because the eater likes to be happy, all right? Well, wait a minute. Now, I've got my room. If you come into my room, you'll immediately know Brother Marlin decorated this room. You won't go into it and say, man, Susie changed her idea just for this room. No, you'll look in it and say, this see as he decorated it. He had to be the one. He had to be the one. And I am. Now, I like it. If you went in there and said, well, I don't like it. I said, I don't care. I didn't fix it to please you. I fixed it to please me. And can I just point out to you, our Lord created all things by him. They were for him. And it was for the Father's pleasure, not ours. Well, I didn't get a vote. Yeah, and you're not going to, all right? It's for his pleasure. Smartest thing we'll ever do is decide, you know, if it pleases him, I think I'll just let it please me. Just let it please me. I think even about that salvation, if man did it, he would have done it. It would have been works. All religions today are works-based. All religions, works-based. The only thing that's not is biblical Christianity. Now, I didn't say Christianity. I said biblical Christianity. Because there's a lot what passes for Christianity that's works. But biblical Christianity knows, for by grace are you saved through faith, not of yourselves. It's not of works, lest any man should boast. Hey, we just enjoy it. It's all the grace of God. It's all the mercy of God. I'm glad it's that way, all right? Because I look at it, if it had been works, I think, I'd have probably messed up. I couldn't have done it. Plus, you'd have labored your whole life and just said, well, I hope it's enough. I hope it's enough. No, it's not that way. Because it pleased the Father to do it his way. And his way was his Son, who is the image of God. He's the creator of all things. He's a director of maintenance. He takes care of all things. He's at the top of the organizational chart. And God says you give him preeminence in everything because it pleases the Father. It pleases the Father. Let's do our best to please him. Heavenly Father, would you help us tonight? Help us, Lord, to really get a good view. And, Lord, I knew when I started I couldn't present everything and do it just right. Because, Lord,